ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's episode on No, but seriously, let me explain. Hosted by the beautiful, intelligent Earth Angel Lala Dabi. This podcast was designed to provide detailed business advice, next level resources, personal credit tips, and relatable relationship knowledge. Be sure to bookmark this page and subscribe because we wouldn't want you to miss any valuable content. And if you're struggling with poor credit, don't even worry about it. Just text HELP MY CREDIT to 507-400-3426. That's 507-400-3426. We have live agents standing by to cater to all your service requests. And now that that's out the way, let's make room for what the host has to say. Lala Dabi, do your thing, girl.
Welcome to No, but seriously, let me explain. This phenomenal podcast series will keep you fully engaged with all the tips and tricks that you need in order to be successful, while also providing you plenty of flavor. I am your lovely host, Lala Dabi, and today we're going to just dive into deep waters in this episode of Emotional Blueprints. Yes, understanding how attachment styles just really shape us. Are you the type that texts back instantly within 30 seconds or so? Or do you try to ghost your partner? And I mean, really ghost so hard that they feel like you've been abducted by aliens? Like, what? Let's make it make sense. Let's talk about how your attachment style just might be the reason why your phone's battery is always on 2%. No, but seriously, let me explain. Brace yourselves, because today we're gonna dive into something that just might explain all those left on red moments, like in attachment styles, of course. So whether you've been, you know, the type that needs constant reassurance, or the type that's like, oh, I'm emotionally unavailable until I need to have my feelings validated, you know, by every person that they come in contact with, of course, your attachment style might secretly be just running the show in your relationships. So grab your phone. Don't worry. We'll get you back to where you're, you know, needing to be, and help you understand why you're not texting these people back. Like, let's figure it out, and let's figure out why we love the way we do. Do you have emotional baggage that's the size of one of those cute little carry-on bags that you take to the airport? Or does your emotional baggage require you to put it in a full-size body bag? Like, how much baggage are you walking around with? Like, we've all been there, of course. In those relationships where you just can't seem to figure out whether they're genuinely pulling away or if you're just being too needy. And let's be real for a cute second, because sometimes you feel like you're just on a never-ending emotional roller coaster where every turn feels like a loop of, why do I feel this way? Or does this person really love me like they say they do? And can I really just trust them wholeheartedly? Like, we all have the questions before. We've asked ourselves this multiple times, but don't worry, this isn't a case of you being overly dramatic. Though, let's face it, we all have had our moments, okay? We've had some. This could be a classic case of your attachment style having, you know, an all-you-can-eat emotional buffet. So, you know, yeah. Let me just break some things down for you for a minute real quick. Because there are four major attachment styles that can really just influence how we show up in relationships. So buckle up, because I'm about to take you on a little ride of your life, you know, give you some of this emotional drama straight ahead, full speed. But also, there are some keys to understanding why we're so messy like we are. You know what I'm saying? Some of us just really get a kick out of it. you know, a little dopamine boost, you know what I'm saying? Something that just keeps us fueled with, you know, unhealthy attachment or unhealthy amounts of drama, I should say. Like, we like to dish it, but we don't like to receive it type of shit. Let me just get into the gist of it all, because I know y'all sitting on the edge of the seats like, so what's the four? Let me tell you the four major styles of attachment. So the very first one that we have is the secured attachment. You know, we got these secure people over here. They are the unicorns of the relationship, okay? Like, they're just some super highly intelligent being, you know, that's always secure in their life. Like, these people, they know how to handle their emotions. And they know how to trust people wholeheartedly. And they communicate like adults do all the time. Like, full-size conversation. When something is wrong, they talking about it. In healthy ways and healthy styles of communication without the yelling, the arguing, the bickering, and throwing pots and pans. They're secure. Like, their whole motto is, love is safe. I'm chill, dude. You know, you're chill. We're all chill. You know, they're really this bubbly, outgoing person who just never gets mad, you know what I'm saying? They never have a fight, any of that. And secure attachments happen when caregivers are responsible and they're supportive, they're responsive, and they are emotionally available during that child's childhood, okay? It's like the emotional equivalent of getting your good night's sleep every single night. And over time, your nervous system learns to trust and relax in certain relationships, if not all your relationships. However, with every positive, there's always a negative. And, you know, there are certain consequences that come along with that. Like, what happens when you're secure? Like, you're likely to have a healthy and balanced relationship where you don't freak out when your partner is late, coming home from work late, you know, it's midnight, you know, because you trust them, right? And you don't need that constant reassurance because you're secure within yourself. I know. It sounds pretty boring, right? There's nothing, no fighting, no bickering, nothing. It's just pretty secure. Like, secure folks, they're very clear. They're very honest. And they're very calm in their communication. They don't ghost you. They don't start fights over nothing. And they're most definitely not constantly wondering if you're really into them, or, you know, they talk like grown-ups, you know? Yeah, shocking, I know. It's crazy. But there's some triggers to the security, you know, the secured attachment styles. Yeah, there's some triggers. Like, they're pretty chill overall, so it would take a pretty extreme situation just to trigger their attachment style. But if you start by playing games or acting like a drama queen, they'll probably dip faster than you can say emotional intelligence. Like, this is how secure these people are. Like, they have a, yeah, I'm out of here. You're crazy. They'll pretty much see what that relationship is. And pretty much it's going down the drain at that point. Like, they're not going to stick around for the bullshit, okay? And pretty much the ones that pair perfectly with this type of attachment style is somebody else that's secure too. Because why would they get with somebody that's full of drama? Like, security plus security is the relationship version of a fairy tale, right? Without the unrealistic parts, of course. Yeah. But that's just the first one. You know, there's three more, you know. You know, you also have the person that has this, or I would say people, because it's multiple people that have an anxious attachment style when they show up in relationships. And these people with the anxious attachment style, they have this drama-loving heart, you know. Like, they love some drama. Like, they love to eat. Like, people love to eat, okay? They want to eat every day, right? So this person with the anxious attachment style, you know, they enjoy some drama. Let's just put it like that. Like, this person is the person that wonders if the text you sent was really sincere or if there's hidden meaning in every emoji. Like, spoiler alert, is not what you may think it is. Okay, don't even start tripping because I sent you an upside down face. I ain't trying to say you crazy or nothing like that, but that's how things get blown out of proportion. People be misconstruing a text message, and especially emoji. And if they don't fit in certain places in the sentence, yeah, they gonna overanalyze that. Like, they need constant reassurance. And if you haven't texted them back in 30 minutes, it's a full-blown just drama crisis at this point. Like, they about to blow up. They about to blow everything out of proportion. And they probably even take your head off in an argument for not texting them back in 30 minutes. Okay, it's been 30 minutes. I know you see your phone. I know you see it. But there's a way and there's a cause of this, of course. It develops, you know, early on. Like, this style is often, you know, stemming from those caregiver, those parents who were inconsistent. And sometimes, you know, affection was barely there. And then sometimes, you know, the distance was a part of what they had going on in that loving, supportive role when trying to interact with their parents. So basically, what these people, the anxious individuals, like, they didn't know how to get emotional. And if they did get emotional, if it would be accepted or not. So they pretty much had their child, you know, neglected in a sense, to the point where they wasn't allowed to speak their truth. They never really healed that aspect of their childhood, if that makes sense. Let me just say, these anxious individuals, they can be clingy, they can be overly emotional, and they might just bombard you with texts asking if you're mad before you've even had a chance to take a sip of your coffee for the day. Like, it's a roller coaster, and you're probably still on the loophole about the whole attachment style and trying to figure it out. But these anxious types, they're great at expressing their feelings, but sometimes a little bit too well. They might have a tendency to be overly reactive and use language like, "You never pay attention to me." And this could be even if you said hello to them less than 3 minutes ago. Like, the silent treatment, that's basically a major trigger for them. That's like basically setting off a nuclear bomb for an anxious person. If you pull away emotionally, just prepare yourself for that series of meltdowns and text messages and awkward confrontations that come along with it. Like, they thrive on closeness, and everything that even remotely feels like distance will trigger them and their worst fears of abandonment. Yes, these anxious types, they do have a fear of having abandonment wounds and, you know, just resurfacing pretty much all over in their lifetime with their relationships. Like, you have a lot of women that have been abandoned in their early childhood, as well as men. And most of the time, you'll see people that have this anxious attachment style, they're going after those who are avoidant. And oh boy, this pair is like oil and water. Okay, so you just have to really expect a lot of passive aggressive behavior, like "where were you" texts and the general emotional chaos anytime you have like this type of relationship scenario of attachment styles pairing together. So, yes, it would be somewhat of a relationship soap opera because you're with a dismissive person and they're avoidant. So when you have this dismissive, avoidant person, like that attachment style is like a clingy, Kahlua avoidant attachment, and they're more self-sufficient, you know, than a cat who will only let you pet them on their own terms. So if you so happen to come across one of them, you know, these folks, they would rather be alone than emotional vulnerable. Like emotions, what the fuck, what is that? That's a hard pass for them. And the way this basically, you know, came about, the avoidance, they really grew up with parents or caregivers who were emotionally unavailable, or they were very dismissive in their childhood. So early on, these DAs, the dismissive avoidant, they learned how not to show vulnerability. Like they learned early on that showing vulnerability led to rejection. So they became masters of emotional detachment and independence. Like these are the kids who learned to rely on themselves early on, and they relied on themselves for everything. Like these avoidants, they're great at emotional distance. And when things get too close, pew, they're out. They might as well just, you know, be emotionally shut down or distance themselves whenever their partner is in need, which can be very hard to deal with. And in which this is, you know, let's be real here, it isn't ideal for any type of relationship that's built on emotional intimacy, because at the first sight of them seeing anybody get too close or getting too lovey-dovey, so they say, they're out of there. A ghost in the wind. And the communication style, because they're the kings and queens of avoiding difficult conversations, instead of saying, hey, I need space, they'll just disappear. Like, if you're the type or emotional type, you know, that needs answers, just get ready for a game of guess the emotional state, because they won't give you any hints as to what's going on emotional wise. But they want you to continuously love them as if, you know how they're supposed to be feeling. You know, love me anyway, because I'm me. I'm me and I don't show emotions, but I still want your love and care. Like, I mean, I get it. And these people, they do have triggers too, like we all do. But their triggers is more like somebody's needy behavior or somebody that's overly clingy, you know, or anything that feels like emotional dependence will make this avoidant person run faster than a fucking tiger in the zoo trying to go catch his first meal. So let's just say these type of attachment styles, they love their space, okay? They love space, and any emotional request that feels like a demand will have them fleeing faster than a cat at a dog park. So just be careful what you ask for with them. Now, even though the avoidant is very disconnected in a sense, like I've definitely seen avoidants attach themselves to other people that are anxious. Now, when you think of this type of relationship, think of this as the emotional Bermuda Triangle or something, because the anxious person wants closeness while the avoidant person is pulling away. And then that cycle just continues to repeat itself. Like, think of it like this. If you've ever wondered why your relationship feels like it's stuck on Groundhog Day, then this is probably why. It's because you're attached to somebody that has opposite views of a relationship than you do. And that could just be the number one cause in that relationship as to why it's failing. So pay close attention to who you're dealing with. Now, I did mention there was four, so let me get to the fourth one. The fourth person would be this fearful, avoidant, disorganized type of attachment. And this is just like walking an emotional contradiction. Like fearful avoidance, they're like an emotional roller coaster that you just can't get off of. Like they want intimacy, but they fear it. They're so terrified of being alone, then they push away anybody whenever they get close. Like it sounds like the DA, you know, the dismissive avoidant, but it's not. So let's just think of it like this. If it was a puppy and the puppy was simultaneously the cutest thing and the most unpredictable emotional landmine, then yeah, that's what the fearful avoidant would be giving off. You know, the cute puppy vibes that, you know, has the emotional intelligence of a landmine pretty much. So you can pretty much see where I'm going with that. Like this type of attachment style is often developed after, you know, a result of some type of abuse, you know, as a younger child growing up in the, you know, parent or caregiver household where they were neglected or there was some type of trauma. Like this attachment style is the emotional equivalent of I want to hug, but don't touch me. You know, fearful avoidance experience a mix of inconsistent care, which lead them to development issues when you have conflicts in a relationship, and especially the relationship that has trust. Like for the fearful avoidance, they want closeness, but when it comes to it, they really just sabotage it. Like you'll get the I need you, don't leave me a lot of the times, followed by never talk to me again energy all in one conversation. It's exhausting. And for them, and you know, especially for you, like they get tired of saying it. And I'm quite sure you would be tired of hearing them say, I need you, don't leave me, don't talk to me again. Like the bipolar is this going on? What kind of bipolar bull? Like you just never know. Like they can be really chaotic in their communication. 1 minute seeking affection, the next minute, you know, pushing it away. It's like trying to have a normal conversation with a tornado. They're all over the place. But let's not forget that this little emotional landmine tornado having bipolar disorder symptoms, having attachment style, has triggers as well. Just like all the others has triggers. So with this particular attachment style, they have emotional intimacy scares. Like this literally scares the living daylights out of them. Emotional intimacy, like what? They can't stand vulnerability, yet they crave it. So yeah, please make it make sense, Mr. Bipolar. Like the inner conflict is really real with them, like, and it can make them either react in unpredictable ways or probably just set off that landmine once again, you know, that tornado effect, that walking tornado, you know? So, yes, but you really can't blame them because you have to think, you know, these people, they were, you know, victimized early on in life. So, you know, they had to develop some type of thicker skin. You know, it's not them, you know, 100% is how they were pretty much brought up, how their upbringing was, living in a household with other chaotic parents, you know, or caregivers in some other cases. So, you know, yeah, you just have to really know where someone is coming from just to see, you know, maybe
they were victimized, abused, you know, early on, and some people haven't. And so, yeah, certain attachment styles are developed early on as a kid. But let's not forget, this particular landmine of an individual definitely have a pair that they would typically, you know, go to. Like the fearful avoidant would also date someone that was fearful and avoidant. Like this would probably be the perfect pair. Like this would be like watching two people try to dance, but neither one of them know how to dance or know the steps, you know. It'll be like a lot of back and forth, and there's a lot of uncertainty in there. And, you know, ultimately, it's lots of painful, you know, miscommunications that's going to happen as well. But, you know, it's something that they're both familiar with. So, yeah, that would be the perfect scenario for the two of them. Now, I have been asked several times, like, you sure you're not just dealing with a narcissist, like with a lot of these attachment styles? But I want to clear something up, because no attachment style is, you know, narcissist or has narcissism in it. Like, although it can certainly feel like it sometimes, especially with those dismissive avoidance, like they can really seem like they're narcissistic only because they're emotionally unavailable and they avoid intimacy at all costs. But that doesn't mean that they're out to manipulate you or try to gaslight you or whatever else, you know, they say, you know, when somebody is being narcissistic. It's just that they've, you know, I've got some serious emotional walls up, and they've built them up pretty tall based off of certain experiences. So let's just take a quick break just so we can hear a word from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back with more insight on attachment styles and how they're shaping your relationship. Would you like to deepen your connection? Download Couply on Android or Apple. From relationship puzzles, quizzes, to expert advice, Couply helps you and your partner stay connected, engaged, and always growing together. Try it today and keep that spark alive.
Yeah, what up, ATL? Look, you ballin', you bad and bougie, with bad credit, that's most of y'all. But look, man, that's why y'all need to call my people at Exchange Credit Repair. That's right, Exchange Credit Repair will help you scrub them inquiries, get rid of them collections and bankruptcy. They'll even take child support off. I didn't even know they put child support on credit. Woo-wee! And boost your credit score. Let's get that credit score where you want so you can go get what you want. And if you mention Streets 945, you get a 35% discount. Hang! So call my people right now at 678-420-5553, 678-420-5553, or visit my people at exchangecreditrepair.info. Exchange Credit Repair is a credit counseling business with experienced credit repair experts standing by to assist you right now. When I made this deal with them, I said, look here, you ain't got to pay me for the commercial. Just put my credit score where I want so I can go get what I want. When I went to them, they treated me like family. My privacy was all the way respected. They quick to fight for a client's right with the Bureau of Credit, creditors, and debt collectors. Conveniently located at 1 West Court Square, Indicator. Tell them shout us in.
Welcome back. Welcome back, beautiful people. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for staying tuned in and just rocking with me. Your continued support means everything. Whether you're a day one listener or just joining in, you know, with the family, you're definitely truly appreciated. But bundle up, because it's story time now, and trust me, this one's got twists, turns, and a sprinkle of drama. So maybe even a little plot twist. We don't know. We're gonna see. But let's just get into it. Whether you're chilling, you know, with your buddy or whatever, get you some snacks, or even if those people out there are multitasking like a boss, get ready to lean in because this story is about to take you on a wild ride. Relatable and oh so real ride. Let's go. So, once upon a chaotic Tuesday in Atlanta, there was a couple who looked like they belonged on the cover of lifestyle magazine called We Got This, but not really. There was this girl named Layla and this dude named Kaden. They were a couple, you know, the photogenic type of duo looking couple that really made strangers, you know, just swoon in, you know, secretly, you know, looking at them and just basically envying the type of vibe that they had. But what no one really saw was behind this little filtered Instagram pictures that they liked to post, there was like, you know, they was living in this emotional WWE match type of relationship that was going on each and every week. Like every time, it's crazy because every time you would see like a really nice picture posted, behind the scenes, you know, they really just at each other's necks pretty much. Like Layla, she was this hopeless romantic, but she definitely had the anxious attachment style attached to her. So Miss Layla, she was this future Miss Hudson. Like, although she was like a hopeless romantic with the anxious attachment style, she created some type of Pinterest board. I'm sure you guys know what a Pinterest board is. And she even, you know, she titled it Future Mrs. Layla Hudson. Like, her heart was very big. Her love was very intense. And yes, Layla had some long-ass text messages. Like, I mean, really long, almost the size of a damn book long. And Kaden, on the other hand, was verily, very, very emotionally elegant as a brick wall, you know? A proud member of the dismissive avoidant club, I would say. Like, his personal motto was feelings. What? Those are for people like the other people, not me, because I'm not the lovey-dovey type. So get that out your mind. Yeah, that was his view on it. Like, they met at a friend's rooftop party, and she loved his deep voice, and he loved her soft eyes, and you know, the chemistry, it was real. The connection, that shit was explosive. But like baking soda and vinegar, you know, it's cute at first until it blows up. Their situation turned relationship began hot and heavy. Layla, she would text, "Good day, my handsome bae," and Kaden would reply with a GM. Not good morning, okay? Just a damn dry ass GM. The audacity is how Layla was feeling. She took it as it was playful at first until she realized that his love language equaled minimum effort with a dash of nonchalant energy. So Layla, she just really tried to talk it out and talk about, you know, their future, you know, one day over some Thai food. Like, she just sweetly asked, "Where do you see us in a year?" And Kaden, he choked on his pad thai and said, "Why are you always turning this into an interrogation?" And for a brief moment, Layla just really sat there looking so confused, wondering to herself, like, what did I say? Like, she had no idea as to why he responded this way. So she just blinked twice. He looked like he was ready to put her right into a witness protection program because she said the wrong thing to him. Like, her need for closeness just really clashed with his desperate need for space. And each time she tried to connect emotionally, he shut down like an iPhone on 2% with no charger in sight. And yet, these two, they really loved each other fiercely in the most inconvenient, soul-tangling, logic-defying type of way, of course. Yeah. Each month, like clockwork, they had a fallout. And not just this petty bickering. No. This was a full-blown, don't call me, like, followed by a I miss you text, you know, 3 days later. Like, Layla, she cried on her couch in her favorite hoodie. You know, the one that he left behind, of course, that real cute red one. But nonetheless, while Kaden, he was just sitting off somewhere staring at his ceiling, wondering, like, why he felt like some type of prisoner in a relationship he wasn't ready to quit. So one night, Layla, she finally said, you know, she's been holding in a lot, of course, at this point. So she finally said what she had to say and whatever she had been holding in for this, you know, quite some time now. And when I tell you, you know, what she said, it's going to be crazy. Like, when I just tell you what I need, it's not that I'm attacking you, she said to Kaden. And she also said, it's mainly because I love you and I want to grow with you. And Kaden, he just blinked. Like, he didn't know how to respond, pretty much. So he just said, you sound like more of my mother than a girlfriend. And oh, baby, oh, that line was hurt. And, you know, the way the shots fired, you know, and Layla's emotional mindset, you know, Layla's lip, she just sat there where, you know, the lip tremble, you know what I'm saying? How your lip tremble a little bit, look like you might just cry a little something. But yeah, she held it together. She had said that she's been called many things times before, but she's never been called somebody's mother. At least not while wearing some sexy lace lingerie from Victoria's Secret. We know how Victoria do it. So, yeah. But from that moment, it was like this slow, it was a real slow moment detaching, like, but it was like slowly unraveling, just began like trickling between the two. Like, the texts, they became fewer, the calls, they became shorter, like the affectionate, almost non-existent at this point, until one day they just stop. You know, there was no more dramatic finales. Just quiet, radio silence, quiet, nothing on the TV, quiet. You know, they both moved on. Like, Layla, she was some kind of kind-hearted, you know, loving type of woman. So she found this man that was very much kind-hearted, who loved keeping deep conversations. Like, this man, he left video messages, he left voicemail notes instead of dry ass GM texts. And Kaden, he also found someone who, like him, didn't ask any questions about future or talk about feelings, you know, past surface level. It was respectful, and in a way, they just kind of didn't go that, you know, emotional way, kind of way, you know what I'm saying? But on certain nights, of course, when the world was quiet and mainly at night, the weight of what could have been crept in, you know, constantly, I would say, in Layla's mind as she still prayed. Like, she didn't pray to get back to Kaden or nothing like that, at least not anymore. She prayed for peace, for growth. And sometimes she prayed for, you know, a little bit more, hoping that one day Kaden would understand the love that she tried to give him. But that type of love wasn't about control or criticism. It was more so about connection. Because the truth is, some love stories aren't meant to last. They're just meant to teach. And what Layla and Kaden, you know, taught each other was that timing, trauma, and communication styles can even turn those most passionate love stories into Mission Impossible moments. But hey, at least those selfies was cute while they lasted. So whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know, y'all, to each his own out there, to each his own. But in all seriousness, what is your attachment style? The good news is, once you identify your attachment style, you can really just start working towards becoming more secure. Even if you wasn't raised with all the emotional wisdom, or, you know, you don't understand how to even connect emotionally, because it's all about healing those past wounds, you know, better communication, of course, and learning to just show up in relationships with trust and healthy boundaries, of course. And hey, no matter which style you identify with, remember, relationships are a journey. And if your journey looks like a, you know, emotional roller coaster, well, at least just say you're not alone on that ride. Understanding attachment styles isn't about labeling ourselves or anybody else for that matter. It's about creating awareness, having that compassion, and, you know, having the ability to grow in any connection. It's more so about how we connect, whether you're identifying as secure, you identify as anxious, or this dismissive avoidant, or even that fearful avoidant. Know your attachment style is not a life sentence. It's a reflection of your past experiences, of course, yes, but it's not a prediction of your future. Like, you don't have to stay in, you know, one of these negative type of attachment styles. Not to say that they're all negative, but until you're really secure within yourself, which requires work, you know, you have to have intention, self-reflection, and the right tools. And you can heal your attachment style. You can evolve and cultivate a more secure way of loving and being loved. Like, each step just takes awareness. And awareness is a step that is going to bring you closer to, you know, a deeper connection, a more healthy one that has, you know, great communication. And this kind of relationship is something that your heart was always destined to have. So remember, your attachment style is not your identity. It's just the starting point. Growth is always possible. The way we love is not just about who we are. It's more so about who we are becoming.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast journey. We hope that you have found this information valuable. To our fantastic listeners, your support means the world to us. Share the insights with a friend. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button and stay tuned for more exciting content. A massive thank you for being a part of No, But Seriously, Let Me Explain. I am your host, Lala Divey, the one with all the sauce, of course. Until next week, stay bold, beautiful, and brilliant. Love ya.